The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. This is the Dean Mackin Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
G'day and welcome. I hope you had a terrific weekend. I hope you did lots of things. I had my detox, my detox from technology. I didn't go anywhere near a gadget except where I had to on the weekend, and we went and did the local Newcastle show. I don't know if you have those over in the UK. We have them, you know, from town to town. We typically have big ones at Easter, like the Sydney Royal Easter show, which used to be fantastic. It used to be out at Moore Park, and of course they sold that off to some Hollywood studio, if I'm not mistaken. They kind of took over the place and it lost its soul. So then they moved this thing out to the western suburbs of Sydney to the, it's just not the same, but they've got these local shows in Newcastle, you know, out in rural areas, and they've still got that old school feel. So we went and did that on Saturday and had a ball of a time. Hope you did too on the weekend. Hope you had a great old time. Thank you to Chris Smith. He'll be back tomorrow here at TNT. We'll be talking to Joaquin Agopian, a lot of stuff to talk to about him. And if you've never read any of his articles, you really need to get on the governmentrag.com and check them out, because he is absolutely phenomenal. I promise you will love his articles. I agree with a lot of our guests, you know, between 90 and 98% of what they say and what they think, and probably, you know, vice versa. But with this particular fellow, I like literally everything word that comes out of his mouth, it's like he's reading my mind. I think he's absolutely phenomenal, this character. And he understands and can predict what's going to happen because he knows who's behind it all. He knows the root causes. The other person I'll be talking to, of course, is Major David McBride, one of my compatriots here, if you will, one of my colleagues. And his court case coming up, all the sentencing coming up very soon. The ABC was actually nice enough to do a very fair and balanced article on him, and they did. We'll talk to him about that a little bit later. I figured out why at the UK general election, everyone's going to vote Labour, and why everybody here in Australia, with the exception of one state, also voted Labour. And I know exactly why, and I've got the article to prove it. You ready for this? COVID causes drop in IQ. There was a study suggesting that if you had COVID, you were likely to have at least 3 IQ points less than you may have had before you had COVID. What do you think? It kind of makes sense. I would suggest your IQ would need to drop 30 points to go and vote for Labour. Just to give you an idea of relative IQs, and if you know, and I think it's okay to be sort of racist if you're giving someone a rap, because Asians are smart people. If you haven't figured that out, it might be because you're not smart, but I can't say that on this station because I know you're all smart. I'm used to being on commercial radio where we literally had 50% of the audience that had no clue. So present company excluded, if I'm talking, you know, globally, that would be the case, yes? We know that Asians are intelligent. Their IQ in Hong Kong, Japan, and Singapore average 106. Now, triple-digit IQs in Western nations used to be the standard. Used to be the absolute standard. But then through a bunch of, things, or you could, you know, cultural enrichment, you could also argue social welfare, where you encourage those who aren't so busy, possibly those who aren't too smart, to go and have a bunch of kids, while those who are paying for their house and their food and everything that they have are literally doing nothing and having so all the people who are doing nothing, you know, having 10 kids, all the people that are doing everything, having one or none, it is absolutely shameful what's happening in regards to that. Now, I'll give you these relative IQs. Australia, down to a whopping 99.2. We've got the US at 97, the UK, 99 as well. And if you're Irish, and I would have thought they would have cracked the triple digits. All the Irish people I know are extremely intuitive. And I think Sigmund Freud said that they were impervious to psychoanalysis. It's because they understand psychology pretty well. I would have said they were up at about 103 personally, but this particular website that I went to suggested Ireland is 95. And for some sort of contrast, I picked a random country, and Nigeria, for example, in Africa, the average IQ is 69. So they are very different. around the world. So we are not apparently all equal. And those in Hong Kong, Japan and Singapore would be quite readily acceptable of that at 106. And I would suggest we had at least that not that long ago, not that many decades ago, but it was absolutely just ruined for us, as they do. And I just think it's absolutely horrific that, it's against nature. Is it not against Darwinism? You know, if you get the animal laying in the field, in the prairie, that doesn't want to go and get food, doesn't want to go and provide for its young in nature, someone else doesn't come along and say, hey, would you like a hand up? You know, would you like a hand up? I'll go and kill something and drag it over for you and the family to eat. That's not how it works in nature. So when you mess with nature, you know, I think it's rather horrific. And that takes me back to this IQ study, because this COVID was not of nature. Everyone that I've ever spoken to that is fair dinkum, who has a few degrees when it comes to immunology, you know, virology, any of these things where you understand how viruses work, has suggested this thing is not of nature. It has been made in a lab, created, tampered with, if you will, put on steroids, and it is not natural. But I would suggest this. If you're looking for that 3 points and a way to explain it, because I don't actually believe that COVID did that. I believe that those who succumbed to the COVID narrative were at least 20 IQ points short of the rest of us. But having said that, it said that those who were never checked, those who were never checked had an average IQ of three. Or sorry, those who said that they weren't tested had an average IQ that was 3 points higher prior to the COVID period. I don't know where they get these numbers from, but I would suggest that those who never tested themselves were already significantly higher, bringing that average up. Does that not make more sense than a virus? But having said that, a man-made virus that makes people less intelligent, isn't that exactly what the globalists want? Because the less intelligent you are, the more likely you are to go and vote for one of their puppets. And boy, don't they have a big range of those available to you. Now, don't miss out on a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can easily watch or listen to us live anywhere, anytime. It's available right now to download, and we're keeping you up to speed here at TNT.
Your voice heard here.
The government needs to step up and do its job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Gemma Cooper, I probably had COVID. I was smart enough to not stick one of those tests up my nose or line up and have them test me. But I would suggest my IQ has probably risen after the last 4 years, certainly my amount of knowledge. And how do you feel on that, Gem?
It's funny you should say that, actually. I think a lot of people's IQs have risen over the last 4 years. Certainly that people are doing a hell of a lot more of their own research over the last 4 years. And very interestingly, much like you, Dean, I had a bit of a digital detox this weekend as I was preoccupied doing some training. So we were ensconced in a room and we didn't have our phones and we were doing, face-to-face human interaction. Who knew, But I was just casting my eye over some of the weekend headlines, and there was an article in one of the big broadsheet papers yesterday, which I just quickly looked at this morning. It's not a breaking story or anything, but it was saying how so many people's opinions of the lockdown narrative have changed in the last 4 years. People that were probably die hard, they did a kind of straw poll, and people that were die hard at the time saying we must lock down are now saying, oh, we got it wrong. And people also saying they believe this was not originated, this so-called virus was not originated from a wet market, from a bat. People are now saying it's definitely a lab leak. This is a big shift. You know, this is mainstream people. This is not like, people like us who saw through it from the start. This is people that admitted maybe the narrative was pushed too hard. Maybe the fear-mongering by the mainstream media, especially the BBC in the UK, it was a UK survey, was pushed too hard. So I do think there's been a huge amount of people going against what was being pushed out 4 years ago and using their own intellect, their own intuition, their own intelligence capacities, their IQ, and doing very well with it. So yeah, big shift, I think. Whether it will be reflected in the polls, though, as you point out there, who knows? We'll know in a few months' time.
Well, it would make sense because, I mean, if the whole, if all of the UK and most of Australia has shifted to Labor, I mean, it would suggest that we are less intelligent than we were 4 years ago when we had people pretending to be conservatives. That's as close as we'll ever get, I would imagine, in either of our countries. But I'll just read this from this article. According to research published in the New England Journal of Medicine on Thursday, patients who had recovered from coronavirus symptoms had a cognitive deficit equivalent to 3 IQ points compared to those who had never been diagnosed with it. I think there's your key. Those who were never diagnosed with it were those who didn't succumb to the narrative, who never lined up, who never got tested. There's your IQ points right there. I don't think the virus did anything. I think it was a rebadged flu. That's all I think it ever was.
Absolutely. You and billions of others. It's a rebadged flu. And in here in this country, as I'm sure was the same in Australia, we had mainstream media journalists going on television, literally saying without a trace of irony, isn't it wonderful how flus disappeared this year? That was back in 2021. Some very, very credible big names. Well, isn't it a great thing that flus disappeared? You're like, well, their IQ was certainly not firing on all cylinders. You know, it's a great, all the hand washing we're doing, all the sanitizing, all the mask wearing, we've eliminated flu. No, love, you've rebranded it. Use your IQ, use your IQ. That journalist is no longer employed by that mainstream news outlet. Oh. They've gone out on their own. They've gone rogue. I'm not sure how they're doing, but maybe they've changed their opinion. I don't know. I don't care. I care even less. But it was so funny amongst our community at the time. You know, the people, freedom community, whatever you want to call it. People were literally wetting themselves with laughter at that particular headline. It was so ludicrous. But there we go. That's what we live through, Dean. That's what we live through.
Well, either that or the cure for the flu was COVID. Either way. I think a five-year-old could probably tell you what was going on there. And I've seen that as a direct quote. What's happening around the world for us today, Jim?
Well, I've just picked a headline this morning from it's about policing again, which unfortunately we do talk about quite a lot. But these figures, we talk a lot about just regular, normal people, as you were saying there, the people that do the right thing, have one kid and maybe two, as opposed to the people who just like have 10 kids and lounge around. But this is a real kind of indicative indictment really on the police of where we are in our society with people who are just trying to, you know, enjoy their lives, get on with it, and how they're being treated. So basically, there's just some really shocking figures. In 2022, all of our police forces, and there were 43 in the UK, they pledged to attend every break-in because burglaries were going unsolved and it was becoming a huge political and social hot potato. We pay for the police here in the UK via our local council tax. So all of the forces got together and they pledged to crack down on burglaries. And it's not working, not at all. Some really shocking figures out today saying that police in the last 3 years have failed to solve a single burglary in many areas surveyed. And the figures, when you type, they provided a handy kind of postcode zip code tool where you type in your postcode and you see how many burglaries have been solved. And most of them are coming up 0%, 0%. 0%. Campaigners and victims groups here in the UK this morning have gone absolutely apoplectic on this. And they're saying, you know, in many parts of the UK, burglary is effectively decriminalised now, and it is a thieves' charter. Some very emotive quotes as well. One campaign group is saying what these figures show is that some neighbourhoods, burglary is effectively a free hit. Criminals are walking away with the proceeds and they never look back. They know they'll never be arrested. They know they'll never be charged. And for the victims, burglary is very upsetting and traumatising. It makes people afraid to go out in case the same thing happens again, but it makes them afraid to stay at home in case the same thing happens again. Public confidence in the police, as we're heading towards a UK budget tomorrow where we look at police funding, public confidence is at an all-time low. The police say, the pledge we made in 2022 was the first step in solving burglaries and we've got new guidelines in place. But you kind of think, well, what are the police doing? What are they doing when this is a grassroots crime? You would have thought when you go to police school, this is like policing 101. So this morning as well, I had a look at some other police headlines. And of course, it's 3 years to the day almost since the young woman, Sarah Everard, was abducted by a police officer in South London, Wayne Cousins. He used his warrant card to stage a fake arrest and he raped and murdered her. That was on the 3rd of March, 2021. And there are some really not very nice stats coming out about how many officers since that case, how many police officers have been convicted of possession of indecent images, coercive and controlling behaviour towards women, and assault towards women. So it looks like the police, they're too busy breaking the law themselves to go out and solve the basic crimes in the community crimes of burglary, which really do have a knock-on effect in the fabric of our society. So it's kind of a kind of overall arching look at the state of policing in the UK. And of course, you've just had that very high profile case of your own. That officer was arrested, if I'm not mistaken, end of last week, maybe my day off, for the murder of his former boyfriend and partner. It's very emotive when the police don't do their job, I think. It affects the national psyche of society about where we are in terms of security and who's looking after us.
Yeah, we had a lot going on the weekend because we had the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, which has gotten huge here over the decades. Because of that, there was a big, a lot of people were getting up in arms about the police being involved and getting on one of the floats in the Mardi Gras because of what had just happened. So that in itself was a bit of an issue. Funnily enough, and purely coincidental, in those states in America where anybody can basically just own firearms and literally carry them around with them, there are surprisingly few break-ins in those particular states. What a total coincidence that is. I would also suggest if you do live somewhere where you have a surprisingly high number of break-ins, those who are breaking into your house, or a significant percentage of those who are of different cultures, may have a problem with a wonderful thing, which is called an Alsatian. And what a fantastic pet they are to have, and they'll look after your house while you're gone. So everyone, if you're living in a high crime area and you can't get a gun or an open carry firearms permit, get an Alsatian, problem solved.
That's one way of looking at it, Dean. That is one way of looking at it. Yep, why not? Why not? You know, you want to protect your property at any means that you legally, lawfully necessary. Why not?
I'm nothing if not practical, Jim. Jim. I appreciate you very much. Of course, you'll be back next hour with Sonia Fulton, and I look forward to our chat here tomorrow at TNT.
Me too, Dean.
TNT's Hervoy Morich.
Trans women's milk as good as breast milk, says NHS Trust yesterday. Drug-induced chest feeding liquid comparable to that from mothers when it comes to baby nourishment, claims hospital. An NHS Trust has said that breast milk produced by men is as good for babies as that produced by mother who has given birth. I wonder if I should experiment with that the next time I have a kid. I have nothing. I don't know what else to say. I mean, we're just observing the insanity of clown world. Yeah.
Hervoy Morich on today's News Talk TNT.
The Irish government is proposing a law known as the Hate Speech Bill that threatens free speech. This law could have dire consequences for our democracy.
We'll have it next month, and then on to the next week.
This law will have uncertain effects on artistic and musical expression. It could stifle the activity of public campaigning on political and civil issues, and also curtail speech relating to topics about religion, ethnicity, sex, and gender.
You could even be jailed for possessing documents, cartoons, or memes on your devices, even if you never read them or intended on sharing them. Mere possession could make you a criminal under this law. Help stop this law. Visit www.freespeechireland.ie/take action to bin the hate speech bill.
Plug in.
Website.
TNTradio.live.
Check it out.
Today's News Talk Radio.
It's the coolest.
TNT.
And I'll tell you what, if I was over in Ireland, I mean, could you imagine that? You could be arrested for having a meme, not creating a meme, not sharing or reposting a meme, for simply having it in your cache, meaning you've already read a particular meme that they deem to be hateful, and you could get a massive fine or go to jail. Wow. In Ireland, I could not have imagined that. But then again, I did just read the average IQ scores in each country, and Ireland was one of the lowest ones that I read. And, why are you putting up with that? The Irish people I know are inherently very intuitive and very intelligent, and I would suggest when push comes to shove, they will absolutely just take back everything that's been taken from them. And I would say that is the thing to do. It's probably the time to do it. Joachim Hagopian, he is a West Point graduate, a former army officer, and he is author of Don't Let the Bastards Get You Down. Now, after the military, Joachim earned a master's degree in clinical psychology. He worked as a licensed therapist and an independent journalist for over 8 years. Joachim has written hundreds of articles for many news sites like Global Research, LouRockwell.com, and the one that I read all the time now solely so I can read his particular articles, Joachim Hagopian and The Government Rag. Check that out. Joachim, how are you going?
Things are good, Dean. Things are good.
Mate, I love your articles. And again, I've said it before, you know, we get a lot of guests, you know, being a conservative, talkback, you know, or news network. Mate, we get a lot of people, and I agree with most things that they say. With you, it is literally everything. And the reason you get it right time and time again is, you know, it's one thing to recognize the symptoms. You know the root causes of all this, hence why you can predict what's coming, and you do it oh so well. And it's frightening because you keep predicting that we could be well on the road to World War III. And I think you're completely correct because, you know, the only adults in the room, and if you don't mind me quoting one of your articles, China's, you know, envoy, Zhang Yun, in a Security Council meeting the other week, urged to Jens Stoltenberg to look at the world through an objective lens, stop saber-rattling, and do things that are genuinely conducive to world peace. We encourage NATO to do some soul-searching, to come out of the cage of Cold War mentality and refrain from acting as the agent of trouble instigating bloc confrontation. And as you correctly pointed out, the only adults in the room are the Chinese and the Russians, because the West has completely lost the plot.
So true. We have to realize that the Western puppet leaders get all their orders from the City of London crowd, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, the royal families. And so they take their orders directly from them. I mean, whether we're talking about in Brussels, NATO, or the European Union, or Washington, D.C., they are all basically robots for the controllers of this planet. And that is why we are headed probably for World War III.
It certainly won't be they who started. It will be our mob. I can increasingly think, you know, we're on the wrong side of this. If I was ever asked, and I've had this conversation with my son, who's now 15, you know, I mean, what would you fight a war if you knew you were on the wrong side of it? He said, absolutely not. And he's somebody who would get up and defend this country tomorrow if there was a problem, even at 15. So, I mean, I'm just hoping that he is indicative of most of the people here, because it's very hard to wage a war if nobody wants to fight it, because it's not just. Unfortunately, we know that's just a pipe dream. We know that the mechanisms that exist. I wonder if most of these global puppets are in mourning, because as you can imagine, I'm deeply in mourning at the loss of one Mr. Jacob Rothschild last week. I was going to read it out, but I didn't want to seem too like I was too happy about it. But I certainly wasn't unhappy about it.
No. I mean, you know, they've been behind every war for a couple hundred years at least now, funding both sides to every conflict on the globe, and making a lot of money off war. That's why we always have war in this world, and they've used Washington, D.C., the puppets there, as their battering ram for invasion and war over and over and over again. And, you know, those are the controllers, and the puppets are just doing what they're told. So that's the world we're living in now, and we have to go straight to the source to find out what's really going on. Because if you just pay attention to Democrats versus Republicans, or West versus East even, you are missing the point. My belief, as much as I'd like to believe that Putin is a good guy and says all the right things that are true, which he does, I don't trust him totally either. He could be controlled opposition in the same way that Trump and all the rest of them, they're all controlled opposition. And my belief is, the last American president that was not controlled opposition or actually running for the demons was John F. Kennedy.
Yep.
And we
yep.
know what his outcome was. So, you know, they take a risk. If you are true to your own people, trying to do what's best for your citizens that vote you into office, you are then at risk of being assassinated. That's the reality of what we're living in right now.
Yeah, mate, we talk about, you know, controlled opposition. Now we've got, I mean, I consider, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy and Nikki Haley to both be absolutely controlled opposition. And there they are going at it as if one's the good guy, one's the bad guy. The same people funding all the lawsuits against Donald Trump are going to be backing Nikki Haley to the hilt. And somehow they're going to try and get her in under Trump. I don't know how they're going to do it and do some kind of switcheroo. I mean, he's getting on. I don't know. I'm just picking up there's something in the works there with Nikki Haley.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's had some rather, well-endowed financial backers. And that tells you a lot right there. But ultimately, I've been saying for quite some time, I don't even believe that we're going to go to November and have an election. I think all hell's going to break loose in America, where they will sabotage the election in order to stay in power. They will declare an emergency. There's going to be some kind of false flag, kind of uprising, and maybe they'll blame the MAGA crowd for Trump, you know, starting the bad stuff. And I don't think there is even going to be an election, sadly to say. But that's how threatened the ones that are in power right now, the so-called Democrats. They don't want to give it up, and they know they will lose. So they're not going to, it's in their interest, their selfish, evil interest, to declare an emergency and call off the election.
I like, they like to put, Hollywood likes to put out little Easter eggs as to what you might expect moving forward by way of Hollywood, you know, in their movies. And there's a movie coming out in April based on an American Civil War, the movie called Civil War. I mean, I wonder if that's one of their little Easter eggs, because certainly no longer a United States, a very ununited bunch of states over there.
Yeah, and look who produced that, the Obamas. What does that say? He's the biggest traitor of them all. And he's running a lot of what Biden says. He, you know, the inner ear is basically Obama. And they might even put up Michelle Obama, the he-she, the transgender guy, you know, Michael. He might end up the Democrat nominee even. I mean, you know, they've been bouncing his name around. So, yeah, it's a circus. It's theatrics. And you have to kind of look beyond the theater and get to the bottom line. And the bottom line is, with the statement that Macron made last Monday about, well, we can't rule it out that we're going to have NATO troops on the ground in Ukraine, which is an open invitation. They know, of course, way in advance, that, of course, that leaves no other alternative for Russia than to intervene directly against NATO. That's the outcome. And then you have, and I went to school with this guy at West Point, but the Secretary of Defense, I was his assistant squad leader at West Point when he was a freshman. And Lloyd Austin said the other day, probably a Friday, I believe, last Friday, he said, well, if Russia wins, and everybody knows Russia's winning and will win, that's a foregone conclusion at this point. But he says, if Russia wins, no, if Ukraine loses, yes, we're going to have NATO fighting Russia.
Yep, I mean, I agree.
He comes out right there and says it, you know? That's all in the game plan. I mean, it's all working up to the real thing.
And the worst part is, I mean, I don't know if you know, everyone listening understands what that really means. I mean, if you like to, you know, glow in the dark, that's what we'll all be doing, those of us who survive, if it escalates to that point. That is literally World War III. That can only go nuclear. And of course, now you've got those leaked reports of Germany planning I think they were going to do a false flag over in the Crimea. You know, that was on RT.com yesterday.
Yeah, they're I mean, the NATO group is and the United States are doing all these provocations, and they're all coming out all at once now. Within a week, we've had all this stuff coming from, now they have generals in Germany that are trying to figure out where they can use British intelligence in putting across this Crimean bridge again, you know, try and blow up the Crimean bridge that separates Crimea from Russia. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so evident what their end goal is. And the fact that it's all come out within the last week tells us we're that much closer.
I think we are. We're also close to a news break, so we'll get to that. And then we'll be back with Kim Hagopian on the other side. Stick around. This is TNT.
Really big, 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 big. The biggest breaking news story. Big, gigantic, big, enormous.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. High-ranking German military officers have been caught red-handed discussing plans to send long-range cruise missiles to Ukraine to strike the Crimean Bridge. Israel's been accused of bombing a safe zone in southern Gaza, killing a dozen civilians and injuring 50 more. And the US is now airdropping food into Gaza, where a quarter of the population is facing starvation, as Israel continues to hold up the delivery of humanitarian aid.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
And welcome back to the program. And for those of you, we're going to have a quick chat with Joachim Hagopian about something in a second. But, you know, for those of you, you know, who are still on the side of Israel when it comes to what's happening in Gaza at the moment, I know, you know, what finds you here is the fact that you are conservative. And most of the things you have a problem with, if you chase the root cause back, you will find many dual citizenship Israelis there involved, you know, kicking a lot of this stuff off. So, I mean, sometimes, you know, have a look at who you're supporting, because you may be on the wrong side of history. And those who you are advocating for may be those who have caused most of the problems that you have with everything that you dislike in the world. It's just something I think you probably should have a bit of a look at. Now, I was talking about, you know, average IQs around the world and Asia. They are very smart. You know, they're well and truly north of 100. They're into the triple digits and well into it. And they make smart decisions. They have big picture mentalities like we used to as a whole, no longer being the case. But when it comes to, I remember when somebody stood in front of a tank in China, in Tiananmen Square. What happened? They stopped the tank. They stopped. What happens if you stand in front of a tank with Israeli soldiers in it, Joachim, over in Gaza at the moment?
Well, very sad. These people are starving now because they haven't allowed the humanitarian relief in. So they actually are running out of food and experiencing famine now. So we have over 1,000 of these they're not quite refugees. They're living in their home, but they're getting bombed every day and night. And so they come to get food. I mean, they're starving. So what does Israeli Defense Forces, Offense Forces do? They actually open, shoot, and kill over 100 of these individuals already, you know, in the going on 5 months now of this supposed war that Israel began, and they were part of the October 7th deal, too. You can better believe that. It was all set up. But anyway, the whole world, basically, anybody with, you know, who has any kind of sense of humanity at all is on the side of the poor Gazans that are being genocided against. And then, I mean, and that's the way the whole world has felt. And then we go into this incident where Israel, they don't care. They don't care whether the rest of the world realizes that they are committing genocide on a daily basis. They don't care. And my view, who's the founder of this little place there in the Middle East called Israel? The Rothschilds. They are the founder. They are the controllers. And they basically given a green light to any kind of criminal activity against all international law. And the U.S. as the puppet and Israel have the backing of the ones that want World War III. That's what's happening.
Yeah, mate, it's just, it's beyond horrific. And for a group who have historically, you know, said, you know, have a look at what happened to us back in the Second World War, you would think that they would be much more in tune with a group who need help, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
No, they're basically applying all the same inhumane tactics of the Nazis. You know, they're no different at this point in the outcome of all those deaths that they are causing to civilians. And mostly 70% of all those people dead in Gaza are women and children. I mean, how can you, you know, you can't justify it.
But you can't. And I mean, as you know, I said to somebody today, you know, there they were, a bunch of starving people. Finally, some supplies come through. Now, I understand you would have had to check them for weapons and whatever at some sort of checkpoint where they probably came in through Egypt or whatever. Now, that's where those soldiers should have been. They could have checked all what was coming in. They absolutely should not have been there. There should have only been humanitarian workers, Red Cross, etc. They're handing out that food. I mean, for them to be there was a provocation at best.
There was a little bit of connection problem. I didn't quite get what you just said.
Sorry, but I was just saying that, you know, I don't think the soldiers should have even been there when they were giving out those foodstuffs, etc. No. You know, there should have only been humanitarian workers. It was a provocation.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, well, everything we're seeing now, there's just a concentration of provocations happening, which, you know, is very much strong evidence that they're going for the gusto of a big war.
Yeah, I can't help but feel at some level, and probably because of, as you said, you know, who's behind it all, because we know the root cause of all these problems, but you can't help but think how the situation over in Gaza and the timeliness of it in, you know, comparison with what's happening in the Ukraine, they're somehow linked. But certainly the West, you know, allocating funds and weapons on two fronts and coming up on a war that would absolutely involve the likes of China, who have the mass manufacturing capability, mass numbers of people. It's a war the West couldn't win. So to pick that fight would be absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a no-win situation for the West. That's why, in my view, the controllers, they want to destroy the West. That's what the end game is. The West is going down. Western civilization will be in the graveyard of history not long from now. It's a tragedy for so many people, but this is the reality that we are now facing. They want the West gone. They put their eggs in the basket of the Eastern powers, a multipolar world of China and Russia, and they basically have forsaken the Western bloc. And the puppets in the West are just doing what they're told suicidally to destroy the West.
I could not agree more. And I think I told my son, if you ever meet a nice Russian girl, you might want to marry her and move over there, because I think, you know, down the track, it might be one of the few safe places to be. But then again, there may be no safe places to be if these puppets do the bidding of their international globalist masters. We know who they all are, mate. And of course, I would just like to see one of the you know, the military leaders of, you know, China or Russia say, we know who's behind all this. And if there is a third world war, I tell you one thing, you lot won't exist on the other side of it, and target them. I mean, wouldn't that be terrific? I would love to see that be the case instead of civilians. Yeah. Maybe then they'd back down a little bit.
Yeah, Russian intelligence, they have the goods on all the dirty deeds, you know? I would like to see Putin come out, and maybe as time gets more hectic and closer to the big one, maybe there will be more information that will be released by Russia, because they have it. They have it, and it would confirm in a lot of people's minds that are on the fence about all this, it would confirm who's on the wrong side of history.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And anybody who wants to read more, you can get onto thegovernmentrag.com. His name is Joachim Hagopian. You're absolutely terrific, mate. I love everything that you say, everything you do, and your articles are so well written as well. Joachim Hagopian, mate, hope we can talk again soon.
Sure, Dean. Anytime.
Thank you. And people, honestly, get onto thegovernmentrag.com. He writes some absolutely terrific articles, and it will give you a greater insight than you could possibly ever have hoped for if you do read those. Coming up on the other side, I'm going to talk to Major David McBride. Lots going on in his world at the moment, and we'll find out what after this.
With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
George Ford Smith of the Mises Institute has written a thoughtful and thought-provoking article entitled, Who Hijacked Our Free Will? And the answer, of course, is no one. Hijackings are violent actions. We haven't had a violent action against our free will. No, what we've had is incrementalism, incremental encroachments on our civil rights, our civil liberties, our very way of life. And every single time we take the easy path, we let the experts handle it, we let the government handle it, we just don't want to rock the boat. We've ceded a little bit more of our liberty and our free will. John Adams said that our Constitution is holy for a religious and God-fearing people and is wholly unsuited to any other. We need to become more active, more engaged, and more educated. We need to start digging into our candidates and finding out to whom do they answer. If you've got a candidate that's being funded by the Koch brothers, you might want to look for another candidate in the Republican primary. Do your diligence, do your work, do your duty as a citizen. Exercise your free will before it's all gone. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for today's News Talk, TNT.
Hi, I'm Susan Lucci. I never thought about heart disease until I had my own heart event. At first, like so many other women out there, I ignored my symptoms. A slight pressure on my chest, shortness of breath. I thought, I don't have time to be sick. I had a 90% blockage in my main artery and a 75% blockage in the adjacent artery. I received two stents in my arteries. Stents developed through research funded by the American Heart Association. Those stents saved my life. I'm so grateful to the American Heart Association. Their research helped save my life. I can enjoy life with my children, my grandchildren, and my friends. Please, listen to your heart. The only reason I'm here today is because I did. Learn more about the American Heart Association's life-saving work at helpheart.org.
This is the Dean Mackin Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome back. TNT, we're an independent news talk station that we do what the others only say that they can do. We are a live radio and TV broadcaster. We simply tell the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do. And we're crisscrossing the globe. We're providing credible news and opinion all day and night. In the 2.5 years that TNT has been around, we've become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant staff and hosts. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and the propaganda from the mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. So at this point, we are appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to the TNT Radio .live website. And if you can make a small donation while we seek the right sponsors so we can continue our important work, that would be absolutely phenomenal, because that way we get to keep terrific people and have them inform you, such as Major David McBride. He's an Australian whistleblower. He's also one of my colleagues here. He's got his own program, as you would all well know. Now, in 2011 and 2013, he served in Afghanistan as a military lawyer to the Royal Australian Regiment and Australian Special Forces, respectively. David made information on war crimes committed by Australian soldiers in Afghanistan available to the ABC. If convicted of the charges against him, he may face 20 years in prison. And it's only 7 days away that he will be sentenced. And we're hoping for a fantastic outcome. David McBride, welcome to the program again.
Thank you very much, Dean. It's always a joy to be back on your program and back on TNT. And you're right, it's important that we put the truth out there, uncensored independent media. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say it's going to save the world. If we get shut down, we are heading for dystopia, you know. And so, yes, if anyone here, thanks to the audience, and if anybody can help keep up TNT. They support things like Julian Assange's case. They've supported me from the very beginning. For no other reason, and again, probably lost a lot of sponsors, but no other reason, because they just simply believe in people who stand up for the truth. Now, that's pretty good, and obviously all the vaccine stuff. So it might be a little bit small, but I really think we are doing a very important thing. And anyway, I thank you for your work. You do it day in, day out.
Thanks, mate. But, you know, it's something that we never talk about when we talk about conservative news. I mean, I've got people, you know, a bunch of them that used to listen to me where I used to be, you know, and that was, a mainstream multi-station network. And you'd have people with different opinions. And it does kind of do your head in when you hear some of these, and I'll use the word idiot, the imbeciles, if you will, and some of the stuff they advocate for. It's very good for your mental health to tune into a place like TNT where all you hear is the truth. You know, it's unfiltered. And even where we've got, you know, different announcers here who have different opinions. And not once have we ever got an email from management, have we, to say, oh, you're on the wrong side. They let us have our own opinions. It is so rare. It is so rare in the media. And that's why you need to support TNT people, because, you know, they let us say what we want. They let you suggest who we talk to, what we talk about. And it's your station. Use it, utilize it, and use that suggestion form on the TNT radio website. And that's why we got terrific people like Major David McBride. Now, David, we've got to give credit where credit is due. And I'd like to do that to Adele Ferguson of the ABC, who did a wonderful article about you in the ABC. And, you know, and advocating for people like whistleblowers. And not only should you not be punished, people suggesting people like you should be bloody paid. And I agree.
Yeah, no, she was great. Adele, we did a book launch yesterday. She came along totally off her own bat. In fact, she, you know, was helpful in getting it organized. She did it. She did Good Morning TV or something this morning. I'm gobsmacked because... But yeah, but you don't really expect that, because she's a bit of a star reporter. The ABC is probably the most helpful thing the ABC have done. And really, really good, you know, and just hope. And I think what's great about Adele is that she draws the dots. It's easy for the government and or, you know, anyone, any of your enemies to say, oh, whistleblower X, not just me, whatever, is a disgruntled employee, a conspiracy theorist, or, well, you know, they're not good. But Adele says, well, what about the Commonwealth Bank whistleblower who called out the banking fat cats? What, you know, David McBride, there's the ATO whistleblower, Richard Boyle. You can't tell me that they're all conspiracy theorists. You know, yeah. It begins, the government line begins to wear thin. They single out each one of us. Oh, yeah, no, he's, but then it defies belief. And as you know, our viewers know, oh, really, every single one, all of us who are saying different things are bad people. I mean, the Mark Dreyfus, the Attorney General, who likes to, he says he has, hold round tables on press freedom. He's not just trying to put me in jail. He's trying to put Richard Boyle, the tax whistleblower, in jail. In fact, they tried to have a closed court for this tax whistleblower, and as if there was national security being revealed. And the guy is from the tax office in Adelaide, as if anything that the Adelaide tax office has to say is really of interest to the Chinese Communist Party. It's just a joke. These people think they are so self-important, but they use national security as a joke to, you know, as a cloak to hide what's embarrassing to them. And it's embarrassing is that the tax department was demonizing and harassing small business people over sort of $3,000 debts, and yet they're letting the Facebooks, the Woodsides, the huge corporations, they don't pay any tax, you know, and that is a disgrace. The ATO, the heads of their tax office, sending people to suicide over small tax debts, and yet they don't have the guts to charge these big corporations a single cent in tax. Now, and the Defence Force, the Defence Department, not so much the people in uniform, but the suit wearers, you know, the Moriartys, the Pizzullos of the world on very big salaries, 700, 800, 900,000 a year. They are just a drain on the Australian economy. They are not doing anything to protect Australia, but they are doing everything to protect their own jobs. And I think the average Australian are just sick of it, you know.
Yeah, mate, you're right. I remember, you know, a few times when they've accused Donald Trump, you know, a billionaire, of not paying much tax. He says, no, I don't pay much tax. I'm using the same loopholes that you, the people who are accusing him of not paying tax, are also using, exposing the hypocrisy, exposing the loopholes. Something that immediately came to my mind after reading that really good article about you in the ABC and me agreeing with it and me agreeing with their stance on what's happening to the people over in Gaza is, you know, it's not about left and right. And we keep getting sucked into this left and right. It's about true and false, you know, wrong and right, up and down, day and night. And realizing it, it's also sometimes perspective and advocacy. I mean, for example, I may disagree with the ABC on mass immigration. If I was advocating for the world, maybe it would be a good thing. But I can only advocate as an Australian for Australians, hence why I have a different view for them. But as they're funded by the Australian taxpayer, you would think that their advocacy would come from the same thing as me. But at the end of the day, you will find some terrific and true articles on there. When it comes to the written word, one that I'm increasingly interested in is your book launch. And how did that go? And where can people get this book?
Where is it? I have on here, The Nature of Honour, it's called. It's in most good bookstores. I recommend people now to go to Big W. Big W have backed me. They put out an ad, and I always like to, as we have saying, credit where credit's due. People that back me, I back them. So, yeah, go to Big W. A lot of the other sort of well-known bookstores had it. I think they've sold out, and, you know, they're not really pushing it, but Big W advertised it. So I'd say to people, go to Big W. And this was a Northern Beaches in Sydney, a place which has got a lot of significance to me. In fact, there's a lovely little story. There's a place called Bucuccino. It was one of the early bookstores cum cafes where you could, you know, have a cappuccino and read a book or whatever, and it was quite a peaceful atmosphere. It's expanded over the years, and it's now owned by an American journalist who's won a Pulitzer Prize, and he was a whistleblowing writer. It's really, and that's not why I had it there. I had it there because I used to live down at the beaches, and it's a very nice turnout. And he used to sort of investigate some of the terrible cost blowouts from Lockheed Martin in the US, where they were charging something like, you know, the $3,000 screwdriver. They had some ridiculous thing where they would charge, if the government were paying, prices were like three times the limit, and they got caught out. Now, you reckon if the Boeing or Lockheed, if they got caught out, because it was obviously they were conning the government, the Pentagon's paying, the US taxpayers paying, therefore let's just triple the quote. And you would have thought that they would, the company would be defunct. I mean, imagine if you were an Australian taxpayer. I've worked it out. Most people must pay about, so the average wage earner in Australia is paying at least 20 grand tax a year. Now, that goes to the various different departments. Now, probably 4 grand of your 20 grand goes to the Defence Department. Now, that's enough to buy, depending on what you're into, a tinny, a good holiday, a motorbike, a dirt bike. Now, the idea that the Defence Department is wasting your dirt bike money or your fishing holiday money or whatever, it's pretty outrageous. And if you look into it, the contract spending, a lot of it is, you know, poured down the drain, or, yeah, people are making up prices, and it would make you angry. That's money that you could have spent. And everybody is a patriot, especially on TNT. Everybody is happy to spend their money, give money to defence if it's actually going to defend the country. But if it's going into, $3,000 screwdrivers for corrupt you know, suppliers, you'd be pretty angry. And I can tell you there's not much adult supervision in the Department of Defense.
Hey, David, before you go on, because there's one thing I really want to touch on, and we've only got a minute and a half, is, mate, you've said we need a Royal Commission into defense leadership, their ethics, their duty, their compliance with Australia's laws. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I mean, what have they got to hide? I'm happy to have a Royal Commission in the sense that I'm happy for them to look at what I did. Why won't they say, yeah, we'll throw open our books, we'll let you look at our email trail? What have they got to hide? I think the public would like to find out who said what, who knew what, because we all agree there's probably a war coming. We need to know that the people at the top know what they're doing.
The way, after talking to Joaquin Hagopian, with NATO pushing further into, you know, the Ukraine, we've got, you know, reports of possibly Germans doing false flag attacks on Crimean bridges and such. I mean, the West really is pushing for war. It's a war I don't think anyone's going to win, certainly not us.
That's why we need a Royal Commission, because false flag attacks, they're not fiction. Let's just say they're a possibility. Now, we need to make sure that our people are not going to, like, have a false flag attack on Taiwan or something like that and then say, oh, my God, we need to go to war on Taiwan. We know in Syria we did false flag gas attacks in Syria and then blamed it on Assad. We did false flag attacks in Ukraine. It's their fact.
David, absolutely. We've got about 10 seconds.
We need a Royal Commission. And I love you, Dean. And I love your viewers.
I love you too, my friend. Everyone, go buy his book, Major David McBride. Sonia Poulton coming up next. This is TNT. I'll catch you all tomorrow.